That was Sunkill Moon doing Carry Me Ohio off of Ghost of the Great Highway. Before that, we heard Oneida with Busy Little Bee, the New Pornographers, with a track from their new album. That was Moves, and the album is called Together. We started off with Frank Black doing I Burn Today from Honeycomb. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. WYSO presents Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot at Fraze Pavilion on Thursday, June 17th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available now from the Fraze box office or online at Ticketmaster.com. Well, as I mentioned before, we are gearing up for quite the weekend in Dayton. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's Urban Nights, there's the Sideshow, and there is the Film Dayton Festival. And we're very happy to have one of the filmmakers who's going to be showing his work at the festival, my good friend Andy Kopp. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, Juliet. Thanks for finally having me on the show.
You are very welcome. Glad you could finally make it out here. I know we had you were going to come with the Horrorama crew back in the fall, but alas, work gets in the way.
Yeah, I was out shooting the Dayton City Council, as I often do on Wednesday nights, so don't always get to hear your show, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay. You are here now, and pretty exciting weekend coming up for you. You're debuting a new film at the festival. It's called Ink and Flesh. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm doing a double feature at that midnight, but one of them is going to be Ink and Flesh. It is a documentary on the Reverend Chad Wells, tattoo artist here in Dayton, tattoo artist extraordinaire. Actually tattooed me, and I'm sure there's tons and tons of other people here in Dayton who will say the same thing. I spent a day with him, just shooting him doing his work. He tattooed a young lady there for like 7 hours, this poor gal, just a couple breaks here and there, but she just went straight through. And we shot that, and then I interviewed a ton and ton of people that got inked by him. And that's going to be our main feature that evening, Saturday at midnight. So, yeah, you're going to get to see how Chad Wells does his thing, get to hear a lot of stories about, you know, his work and whatnot.
And that started out as just kind of a promotional video, and it grew into this film. How did that happen? Did you just sort of shoot and realize, oh, hey, this is something more than what it is?
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, the whole idea was that I would spend a day with him and we would chop it up into probably like a 10-minute YouTube video or something he could use on his site. And we got, you know, for one, all the footage of him actually tattooing was just way too fascinating to let go of so much of it. And then also, he's a great raconteur. I mean, I don't, you know, if anybody who's been tattooed by Chad will be able to tell you that, the man tells brilliant stories. You know, and he's been around Dayton for so long. He's got all these experiences that are just awesome. And so, once again, I got editing, and, you know, he has these long stretches of telling these brilliant stories that I just couldn't bring myself to chop up, you know, to lose. And it went from being what we thought was going to be, you know, a 10-minute, like I said, 10-minute video that would be on his site to being, you know, an hour-long documentary on him and his, you know, his crew and how he does things, and basically his stories of living in Dayton and working in Dayton. So yeah, it started as just a promotion thing and is now an experience piece of, you know, how it is to be a tattoo artist in Dayton and, you know, how you relate to the people here.
Now, the other film that you're showing is an older piece called, yes, Fun in the Old Town. And before we get to what that's about, now, that is more of a fictional piece. And what I know you for are, you know, your horror films, more of the grindhouse style fictional pieces. How was doing this different than doing, you know, things that you had written, or, you know, narratives that you had written, or full feature length stories like your last full length Quiet Nights of Blood and Pain?
What people don't know, I guess, is that, you know, I work in public access TV. That's my daily job, and I have done a fair amount of documentary work through that. And I did another documentary, gosh, it's been almost 8-9 years ago, on the Freak Show Deluxe crew. So that's been a long time ago. So it's not something that I don't do a lot of, but people just don't really know me for. So it wasn't a huge difference really for me at all to go into that mode. It's actually something I really, really enjoy. And, you know, I'm a huge documentary watcher. So it wasn't difficult for me to get into a different mode. But yeah, you're right. I do mostly narrative, or that's what I'm known mostly for, is narrative work, mostly the grindhouse horror stuff. That seems to have been what people have associated me most with, which is fine because I adore that. That's, you know, definitely something that I love. And Fun in the Old Town Tonight is definitely in that mode. It's a short piece, but it's very much in that mode. But it's also a very much a social commentary piece. And that's something that hopefully people get out of my work. I don't know. Some people do, some people don't. Some people just react to the horror stuff and love that, and that's fine. But that piece in particular, and, you know, and Quiet Nights of Blood and Pain that you just mentioned, my last full-length film, are very much social commentary horror, which is very important to me. My mentor, who unfortunately I don't really talk to that much anymore, Jim Van Beber, who I came up with many years ago, once told me that if you're going to put that much effort into making a movie and making, you know, and he and I at that time, you know, both wanting to make horror films and, you know, exploitation films, for lack of a better word, you've might as well make sure it's about something. Make sure that you have a reason for making that movie that's, you know, going to get through to people. And that is always stuck with me. And I've never went about making a movie after that without having a reason for doing it. I've never just, you know, went, oh, I'm going to make this really cool, gory horror movie. And, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that. There's tons of them out there that I love. You know, I will spend a lot of time with watching. But for me as a filmmaker and as an artist, that is the key to doing it. And Fun in the Old Town Tonight really represents something that I was extremely passionate about when I made that. But like you said, it's, what people don't know, it's like 5 years old. It was buried in production hell for a long time, which I don't know. I guess I should tell that story. I wish people would be interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was part of an anthology film called Urban Reality, which was made with several other filmmakers here in Dayton. Primarily with my partner on that film was Gregory Tucker, who's a very good filmmaker here in town. He also works with me at DATV. And there was like three or four filmmakers involved. Each of us taking a segment to do, and it was all wrapped around with a, you know, wraparound story, and Greg was doing that. And various problems, there were some legal issues, and there were some the biggest problem were special effects issues, not on my piece, but on digital effects issues, that just kind of laid the whole thing to waste. My piece was done immediately, like in 2005 when we started working on it. Other pieces were done fairly close there, but then there were two or three that just couldn't get finished in any sort of reasonable amount of time because of the digital effects issue. They're still not done for whatever reason. I'm not really sure why. And I think it just sort of took the steam out of getting it finished. It will get finished at some point. I know it's close. But I just, there wasn't like a week that didn't go by where I had friends or fans or people that were involved asking, you know, I've seen stills of this movie. Where is it? Why can't we see it? And I put it up as a download on my site, and very few people actually checked that out. But there were still people wanting to see it. So I asked Greg, and I was like, can I show this to, you know, can I at least show it somewhere? I did show it at a convention, and it got really good response. But that was 5 years ago. And so I finally was like, can I show this, you know, here? Can someone finally see this movie? Can the people who were in this movie finally see it, you know? So that was the biggest part of that. So that's why, you know, it's a short piece, and that's why it seems weird that it's a short, because it was originally part of Urban Reality.
So this and Ink and Flesh are going to be the midnight movies, and I think that's got to be kind of a cool significance for you. You're a horror fan, you know, midnight movies go right in there. Mm-hmm. And you said Jim Van Beber was your mentor, and
yes,
he had the midnight movie last year at the festival.
Yeah.
What's it like getting to really showcase your work in your hometown with a bunch of your peers? I know some of your fellow filmmakers are showing their work. You know, some of your friends are showing their work at this festival. What's it like getting to be involved?
It's exciting. It's really exciting, and it's nice to be recognized. You know, I've worked doing movies here in Dayton for a long time. my first film, The Mutilation Man, premiered in 98. And then it took 5 years to make that movie. So I've been, you know, doing movies here since the early 90s. And, you know, it's kind of under the radar. You know, people kind of know my name. You know, I'll run into people who go, oh, I know who you are. But people aren't super familiar with my work, if at all. And so this is really good because it's like a recognition that, you know, yeah, you are a filmmaker here in Dayton. We do realize that you do this stuff here. And it's good that it's the double feature that I'm doing because they originally, Film Dayton, just asked for a horror movie, one of my horror movies. Because I think they like having the idea of a scary movie at midnight on Saturday, you know, because they had, they had Deadbeat at Dawn last year, which isn't really a scary movie, but it's sort of an exploitation, gory, you know, it fits the mold as a midnight film. And I think they wanted more of that this year, but I had Ink and Flesh finished, and I hadn't shown it anywhere. And then I had Fun in the Old Town Tonight, which, once again, hadn't shown anywhere, but did fit that mold. So it was perfect to double team them. And then it also shows for me, a real breadth of what I can do because it's not, you know, it's not quite the same. You know, it shows it's a documentary and it's still the, you know, the gritty horror, you know, social commentary, gory stuff. But it also works as a grindhouse night at the movies, you know, because it's, you know, and that's how I've designed it. It's like you're going to get to see Fun in the Old Town Tonight. You're going to get to see Ink and Flesh. But in between, I've put classic 70s horror trailers bookending everything, along with classic, you know, Policy Daters and, you know, the whole coming attractions thing with the swirly colors and all that. You're going to see all of that stuff bookending everything. So it's going to be just like if you had went to the old Contiki Theater back in the 70s and saw, you know, a double feature of I Spit on Your Grave and Caligula or something, you know. Not that that would have happened because that would have been like 5 hours. But, you know, that's how I designed it. But it's awesome that I'm getting the recognition as a filmmaker here. I think that's great.
And now you're also a visual artist and yes. You're also involved in another part of Urban Nights. You've got an art showing on Friday night as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was really cool too, because I was searching for someplace to show my art for a long time here for Urban Nights. That was something I was looking for too. And it just wasn't finding a fit for it. Not that my visual art's that extreme, because it really isn't. It's kind of a counterbalance to what my films are, which is really surprising to some people. But I was just running into where I was looking to talk to places where I wanted to put it, and I just kept seeing a lot of rules where people are like, well, you know, you could put it here, but it kind of can't have this or that. Or, you know, and that was just because a lot of being Urban Nights, people were wanting to be careful with what they showed, which is totally understandable. And, you know, I totally can understand that. So I was having trouble finding some place to do it. And I was kind of just wanting to find it like a storefront or something that I could do it myself. And then out of nowhere, my friend Lou Stahl, otherwise known as Lou the Christmas Devil from A Ghastly Ghoul Show, calls up and is working with the Southern Bell and has the loft there. And he's like, you know, we're doing artists there this year for the first time. And he's like, I need you to be involved. I'm like, you know, you don't have to ask twice about this. So, yeah, it's going to be the first time that I'm going to have a proper art show. I did have a showing of my art when the old Precinct 13 was around. You know, Jason, who ran that, let me shut down in Precinct 13 for a night and show my art there. So I've had that. But this will be the first time I've shown, you know, when other artists have been going and, you know, a proper night. So I'm very excited about that. That's going to be, of course, Friday night. You know, the normal Urban Nights time, 6 to 10, at the Southern Bell, at the loft above the Southern Bell.
Excellent. Well, we're going to be back to talk more about movies and art and all sorts of fun stuff with Andy Kopp. He's a local filmmaker. You can check out his films, Ink and Flesh and Fun in the Old Town Tonight, Saturday night. They're the midnight movie as part of the Film Dayton Festival. Right now we're going to hear from a band that's also playing part of the festival. They'll be playing Glad Girls Music Video Showcase that's kicking off the festival late Friday afternoon. This is Flotation Walls on WISO.
Love knows where to find you. Sneaks up right behind you. Shadows you and squeezes your neck. Love knows where to find you. snakes sang hallelujah. My glasses broke, your mother was there. She whispered, this is bourgeois. Kids look at the waves, watch how they move the sea.
We'll be right back. StoryCorps mobile interview booth will be leaving soon, but you can still see it and visit with the WISO staff this Friday night during Urban Nights. The beautiful silver-skinned mobile booth is parked in front of the Schuster Center for the Performing Arts, thanks to the generosity of the Victoria Theatre Association. So come and celebrate downtown Dayton during Urban Nights and bid farewell to the StoryCorps mobile booth. Thanks also to our StoryCorps sponsors, Friend Fries and Arnold.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. We just heard from the Lab Partners. They're going to be playing the kickoff party to the Film Dayton Festival. That's Friday night at Jilly's. And we heard Flotation Walls. They're also going to be playing as part of the festival. They're going to be at Glad Girls Music Video Showcase, which is happening Friday afternoon. And if that wasn't enough, we've got local filmmaker Andy Kopp in the studio with us. He's got the midnight movie slot on Saturday night as part of the film festival. It's going to be a double feature, two really great films, two films that this is really your first opportunity to see, Ink and Flesh and Fun in the Old Town Tonight. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, Juliet. Thanks for having me once again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very glad to have you here. And one of the things we were sort of talking about during the break is the whole idea of, you know, being a local filmmaker and the challenges and things like that. And I just wanted to touch on your experiences as far as, you know, it's a lot of work to sort of put
it
all this together.
It's an amazing amount of work, yes. What I do is not the norm by any stretch of the imagination. It's kind of a sadomasochistic in a way that I try to do movies the way I do. You know, most people try to raise a budget and then go ahead and do the movie, and I don't do it that way. I just sort of jump out and do it, and then, you know, hope for the best and work it from there, which is really backward. But yeah, it's, you know, I've just had this insane passion for movies and the kind of movies that I do, and you know, and have the realistic knowledge to know that a lot of the stuff that I do and want to do is, you know, people generally aren't going to throw money at. So I just kind of jump in head first and do it and hope for the best. A lot of the times, not always works out so good. Sometimes it does. So the biggest challenge for that is that, you know, there's no money when what I'm doing a lot of times. I mean, people will cry and whine and say, I'm doing guerrilla filmmaking. And then you like find out that they had like $4 million, and, you know, and, you know, had trailers on the sets and, you know, catering by, you know, some major Hollywood company and something. And then I look at them and go, you know, I made, you know, a movie for $2,000. you know, that's a little different. You know, and then the other side being that because of that, you know, you're often not paying people, or, you know, you're paying people in favors, or, you know, like, oh, I'll give you, like, you know, this or that, or, you know, I'll help you on your project if you help me on mine. Production tends to stretch out over insane and absurd amounts of time. At least it does for me, which is, I hate. So it's like, you know, the perfect example being my first film, The Mutilation Man, I mentioned earlier, took 5 years to produce. And that was actually done on film, too, which, you know, isn't as heard of for these kind of movies anymore. So that is maddening sometimes. It's like any kind of problem you can imagine for a movie taking 5 years happens on those kind of productions. And my last feature film, Quiet Nights of Blood and Pain, took a year and a half when it shouldn't have. It should have been something that took, you know, a couple of months. It was planned out to take a couple of months. But once again, you know, no budget combined with acts of nature and everything else you can imagine, it ends up taking a year and a half.
What was the point? I know, you know, you've been a huge film fan your entire life. What was the point where you said, I want to do this? Not just I love watching these films, but I want to make them. I want to be, you know, a part of this world even more so. Do you have like a sense of when you decided that, or has it always been a part of you?
It's always been a part of me. I mean, you've heard the stories before, but I can repeat them for the audience. I grew up watching shock theater, you know, with Dr. Creep, and I didn't have a very good home life when I was little, you know, alcoholic father and kind of a turbulent home. The only time that there was peace in our home was when we watched shock theater. For some reason, you know, the family calmed down and got together and we watched that. So I always had this sense of calm and peace associated with that. And so watching scary movies sort of, I associated those two things. As I got older, and thankfully my real father left and was replaced with my stepfather, Gene Lowe, he was a huge exploitation and horror film fan. And there was a period there where I was actually terrified of them, you know, due to the whole home life situation and being a little kid. And he sat me down and explained to me how the special effects of The Howling were done. And that clicked for me. That, like, clicked something. And for a long period of time, I wanted to be a special effects makeup artist, not really a filmmaker. I wanted to be an effects artist. And for years, through my teen years, that's all I did. There was just this long period of, you know, all the neighbors' parents, you know, didn't want me around because I would always be coming in with body parts and masks, and it's, you know, pretty crazy. But there was specifically in my later teen years, it was seeing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Evil Dead. It was those two movies back to back where I got the sense of there was somebody in control of all that stuff. It wasn't just, you know, the special effects and everything that made the movie. It was, there was a guy that orchestrated all that, that made me feel the way I felt watching those movies. And that clicked it all into place for me. And it was like, no, I have to be that guy. I you know, I'm okay. I'm still really good at special effects, and I still do them to this day. But it was specifically the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That it was watching that and being so scared, but then realizing that there was a guy behind the scenes that made all of that fit together. And it was like, no, I have to be that guy.
So. You wanted to be that the guy in control of,
right,
of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned shock theater, and I know that a lot of the people that are making films in Dayton, and a lot of the people that make horror films in Dayton, sort of all grew up under that
yeah,
web of shock theater. And I get the sense that there's definitely kind of a community there. And
absolutely.
Have you had that experience of, like, the, you know, not just the film community at large, but I think that there's definitely in the sort of horror film.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton's got this, it's bizarre. I think if you go to other cities where there's film communities, there isn't a thriving horror community. And Dayton has one to a degree. I mean, not everyone here that makes films wants to make horror films, but there's sort of a large degree of us that do, and it's really unusual. And that's the reason. It's shock theater. I mean, it's our age group, the people that are in my age group, all of us grew up watching that. I mean, and Dr. Creep being the kind of persona he was during those years, and all of us being that age group attaching ourselves to him, I think many people had similar situations that I did, you know, not necessarily in their home lives, but watching the show. And so we were all introduced to horror films in a very safe manner, you know, and kind of grew to love them in a very safe way because of Dr. Creep. So I think, you know, we have a love for the genre that not a lot of maybe other communities did. And a lot of other communities had horror hosts, too. So, I mean, you had Indianapolis, had Sammy Terry, and you had the, you know, Ghilardi and some of these other ones. So maybe in those areas, if you go to them, it's very similar. You might see, you know, a lot of other horror filmmakers in those towns, too. But, yeah, it's definitely here. I think Dr. Creep and Shock Theater kind of spawned and kicked off a lot of us, you know, for that love for the genre. And I think it explains why you see so many of us in this age group, and some of the younger ones too, that have that deep interest to want to do that.
And so after this showing, the big debut of this film, what's next for you? I know you're getting ready to gear up for something new. You want to tell me a little bit about that? You know, yeah. A little sneak peek.
Yeah, I've been actually gearing up for a new project. This has been actually in the works for some time. I mentioned earlier the project's dragging on for years. We have been trying to gear up for a movie called Church of the Eyes. We've been in pre-production for almost a year now, actually. And it's one of those things where things, you know, have problems and you have trouble getting it going. This is a good lesson in how that happens. We keep getting close to getting started, and then something will happen and we have to back off. We are very close to getting started. Hopefully we will be starting to shoot this summer. We're having a few difficulties. We've had some casting difficulties where we've thought we had our leads, specifically our female leads, where we keep thinking we have them in place, and then they drop out for various reasons. The subject matter seems to be freaking people out, more so than my past films, which kind of bewilders me, because, you know, I don't think it's as controversial as some of the other things I've made, but people that read the script seem to disagree. We're having problems with keeping cast members actively interested. That's the problem we're having. And we're also having some budgetary problems, because it's like this is turning out to be a little more expensive than we'd originally planned, because we're shooting in HD, which is new for me. So that's kind of eating up a little more money than I'm used to as well.
And you've gone from film now all the way up to HD. Is it, you know?
Yeah, I've shot in every format you could possibly ask.
Being independent and having to sort of react to all these changes in technology, does that just add like another wrinkle, another challenge into
the
whole mix?
Oh, yeah. It's completely. Like I said, I've shot in every format you could possibly shoot at, except for 35mm. I have not shot 35mm film because I've never been able to afford it. But yeah, I've shot 16, I've shot Super 8, I've shot every video format known to man, sometimes in the same movie, on purpose, I will add. But yeah, it's just another wrinkle to getting things done and getting it put together. The biggest issue being acceptability in the marketplace and acceptability as far as people watching it. People used to be a lot more accepting as far as what your movies looked like in lower end formats. Now, no, they won't be. It's in my last movie is the perfect example. When I started shooting Quiet Nights of Blood and Pain, the gear we were shooting with was prosumer gear, and it looked good when we started shooting. By the time the movie was finished, you know, done, edited, and put onto DVD, it looked cheap because the advances in gear had happened so fast. People were expecting HD. They were expecting, you know, high quality, you know, broadcast quality HD. So the movie suddenly didn't look so good anymore. Those advances in technology are so fast that you have to keep up as an independent filmmaker now. So that new wrinkle is really a big one.
And if people want to check out your work, get a little more information ahead of the screening, where can they go online?
Two places I would say definitely go. Definitely check out the Facebook page for Cop Films. So just do a search on Facebook, because, you know, Facebook adds that ridiculous URL after everything that no one can remember. So just do a search for Cop Films, that's COPPFILMS. and you'll find that on Facebook. Then check out my website, which is a little more complicated than it should be due to some web hosting issues. So it's copfilms.weebly.com, and you'll be able to check out the website there.
And be sure to check out Andy's films. It's Ink and Flesh and Fun in the Old Town Tonight. Saturday night, the midnight movie at the Film Dayton Festival that's going to be showing at the Neon this Saturday. And Andy's also going to be involved with a couple of other local horror filmmakers in a little Q&A on Sunday morning at the Greyhound Station as part of the festival. It's going to be replacing James Greer's Q&A. And if you're interested in what Andy's been talking about tonight and want to talk with him and some of his colleagues more, and maybe you're interested in making these type of films, that'll be a good opportunity to do that as well. Andy, I want to thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Well, thank you, Juliet. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thanks so much. Check out Andy Kopp's films, Ink and Flesh, and Fun in the Old Town Tonight, Saturday night at the Neon as part of the Film Dayton Festival. Right now, we're going to hear music from Dennison Whitmer from Philadelphia Songs. This is Sets of Keys on Kaleidoscope.